Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, the merchant on the forest path of the material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives, and so forth, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind. That is to say, in his lust, he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during her menstrual period. Thus his eyes are blinded, and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. Purport. It is said that household attraction resides in the wife, because sex is the center of household life. Yanmaitu nadi grihamedi sukham hitu cham. A materialistic person, making his wife the center of attraction, works very hard day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, karmis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. Under the circumstances, the wife is compared to a whirlwind, especially during her menstrual period. Those who strictly follow the rules and regulations of household life engage in sex only once a month at the end of the menstrual period. As one looks forward to this opportunity, his eyes are overwhelmed by the beauty of his wife. Thus, it is said that the whirlwind covers the eyes with dust. Such a lusty person does not know that all his material activities are being observed by the different demigods, especially the sun god, are being recorded for the karma of his next body. Astrological calculations are called Jyoti Shastra, because the Jyoti or effulgence in the material world comes from different stars and planets. The science is called Jyoti Shastra, the science of the luminaries. By the calculations of Jyoti, our future is indicated. In other words, all the luminaries, the stars, sun, and moon, witness the activities of the conditioned soul. Thus, he is awarded a particular type of body. A lusty person whose eyes are covered by the dust of the whirlwind of material existence does not at all consider that his activities are being observed by different stars and planets and are being recorded. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of sinful activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
This broadcast? Hare Krishna. We are listening to the nectarian voice of the Paramahansa Swami Maharaj and the words of Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once you were walking with Sri Prabhupada in the in the back of the existing temple, that was more or less where we were going to later install the foundation stone for the large temple of Vedic Pranthana. And there was some bullocks going around the stick with their feet there kicking some harvest. I forget, it was either sesame seeds or mustard seed or something. So Prabhupada stopped and he said, "What is that stick called?" And of course no one knew what the stick was called. It was a stick, you know. But so that is the Mridanga. That is the translation, name means female. That's the female stick. that no matter how many rounds the vortex are making, they're always going around the room, so that the Vietnamese, they may do anything, but the mind is in their house. So I just thought I'd share that with you. But now we know that like the Vyastas who are practicing Krishna consciousness, it's actually to be focused on the life is a positive thing, because through that they can control their senses, and to a one person that can insulate them from the attraction of so many others. So Priya Rupta Das Ramachai, he was determined to be a Ramachai, but then he was approached by Rama and others, and by the Ramayana, that he should get married, and that by being married, his Grihastha Ashram would be like a fortress, so he'd be able to defend himself from the attacks of Maya. So husband and wife, they go around, they put Krishna in the center, and then they go around. To some degree, there should be a mutual attraction between them, that bond is important, whatever you call it, romance or whatever, but there should be something there. But the mutual attraction to serve Krishna should also be very prominent. That's the difference between Grihastha, Krishna conscious Grihastha, and say a real lady. A Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who we're going to speak about today, he said he would be a Grihastha and have 100 kids if he knew they all are going to be Krishna conscious. But there's no such a guarantee, of course. We try our best, but so he took sannyas. He never got married. His brother, Lalit Thakur, also didn't get married. But the other children, there are 13 in total. I don't know exactly, but I think they all got married. Today is the disappearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. And the Vyas Puja is sometime, I think, in February, and that day Gaurav Indra Maharaj, he left the world, and that time we also have we have a joint gathering with all the Gaudiya monks together. This is the first day. It usually falls in December. So one time we had Prabhupada present in Mayapur for the disappearance day. So the mood like in a fair state, you kind of just celebrate that his great soul has come into the world. But on the disappearance day, you feel also like separation that he left the world. We don't get his association now. And left behind him a certain legacy that we have to follow. And that weighs very heavy, on the disappearance day, Prabhupada was here. He gave a long lecture, but at one point he started talking that the secret of success is to please the previous acharyas. And then he said how I forget all the details, but I think he said that Jagannath Babaji, he discovered the rough face. He confirm the exact location. Bhakti Vinodhaka, he did a door to do the temple, the first temple, at the workplace of Lord Chaitanya. I give Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He did a lot to develop the Navadvip Vyavadam. And then Prabhupada said, I'm trying to also do something to please them, to develop Vyavadam. And all of those followers of mine who are helping me, I'm very grateful to them. And he wrote down, he said, kind. And I was seeing that, what to do. People couldn't do anything. Probably was just choked up, crying. And this would happen very rarely, but sometimes it happened. And then he like waved his hands and chanted Hare Krishna. So, it was a very memorable for me. At least to some extent, I tried to develop the life of God. So, you can understand how important it was to Srila Prabhupada. Because he had to please his guru and the previous acharyas, especially. So, of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur, he also gave the instruction that we should distribute books. He called it the Vihat Vijaga. And of course, the new Advaita is famous for book distribution. But ISKCON all over the world were dedicated to distributing books because of the instruction of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. So, this water. This, I was told by when Dhammadhar Maharaj, who's a Rajabh of Srila Prabhupada, he was an instrumental, so sometimes we would sit with him. Prabhupada had a cordial relationship, friendly relationship with him. Later he gave us his ashram and we gave him some land and Jagannathpuri. He said that, you know, all he knew was that everybody had to chant 100,000 names, otherwise he wouldn't accept the offering. But that was for the pujaris and the people who stayed all the time in the temple at Mayapur. But those who were out work distributing or preaching, that they would chant 16,000 or 25,000. Plus, all day long they would do this sort of books or doing the preaching. So the ones that was interesting for me because that's more or less the standard that Prabhupada established in ISKCON. We chant 16 rounds and chant and preach. There's a few devotees that chant 100,000. I was once chanting 32 rounds and I was very proud. I thought, I chanted 32 rounds, And then it was like 10 o'clock and I went and finished the rounds, so he goes, and Prabhupada called me over. He was in Calcutta at the time. He said, "What are you doing?" I chanted 32 rounds. And then, "Who do you long preach?" He said, "I'll go and chant rounds." I say it's 16 hours of long preach. So that was the end of my 32 rounds. Now sometimes on Yath Puja or some special day we chant extra rounds. I chant a few extra rounds off and on, but especially to do like a Jamaster or something, we chant 100,000. But otherwise, I had the lineage to talk about the ground fish. So Vakti Siddhanta Maharaj Thakur, I heard about him from a different angle. So I'll share some of that with you. It was like one of my assistants was a Chakur Shik, and a really good team. But I won't talk about that. Because I would take him when I was at a car or something, and he was a Muslim, he had a beard, and he would like chastise the Hindu sadhaka, why are you trying to have money for the temple and so on? Because he was a Muslim, so the guy would be hung off of him. I would be 1,100 rupees. That's that simple. Anyway, so Chakra said when he was a small boy, he used to see Bhakti Siddhanta Sahaja Thakura, and that he would like walk, you know, Mayapur is hot in the hot season, so he would just have his, the tatis. And he would have a bare chest, so his arms would come down to his knees, and he had the three legs. He had all these signs of a great soul. As a Muslim kid, this chakra would run up to him, and he would carry a bag of sweets, and he would sweets to all the Muslim kids. And most of his land, like the Shivas Anga and all that, was donated by the Muslims. They gave to either the soldier or cost rice, or they donated some land. So he was very friendly to everyone. And they all loved him, they all appreciated him. So this chakra was telling you how, when he was a kid, he used to eat sweets out of the hand of Bhakti Siddhanta, Sarasvati Thakur. So one time, the name of the Chaitanya Bhakta, they came and they reported to Bhakti Siddhanta Sahaja Thakur that the laborers are going on a strike. They don't want to cut the rice. And if they don't cut the rice, they're going to lose the rice. They want more money. So he said, how much do you want? He said, well, that's unreasonable. Then he's showing where that rice is going that. They drew it out. He leaned down and he started cutting. So when the guru was cutting, and every rabbi cut. And then the guru said, okay. There's something that happened to Bhagavad. All the time the laborers, they made half the slab in Mayapur of the, what we call the long building, that means the Achaka guest house. And they went on strike. They said, to finish it, we want double the money. So then Prabhupada, he told us, okay, we'll finish it. So all the swamis and everybody came to the mix, you know, cement mix, cement, sand, and stone chips. I didn't care because I was running the machine. I knew how to run the machine. So I ran the mix axe, filled up there. We call karahis there, steel tails with the cement. And then when the workers saw that, they said, okay, we'll work with you. So, you see how powered all with power, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Sai Thakur. Then we heard that in the Bhagavad temple, which later, Bhakti Siddhanta Sahaja Thakur, he had a talk with Srila Prabhupada, was it Radhakutma? But he said sometimes, I think, pull out the water from the temple. At that time there was a Bhagavatar temple, and he said, pull out the water, sell it, and publish books. So, one time when he was there, they had Anakut, you know, Anakut, that's a go-around puja. That's when you make a mountain of rice. Literally, in India, it's like maybe 6 to 10 feet long and 3 or 4 feet high of rice with all kinds of pakoras and other things decorating it. The king, they said, a dog took him and ate from the other coop. Smell everybody, can't eat it. All the people there, swear, a dog ate, shoot him. There's a new man, you see? Where's the exact spot? They said, here, you see right here. And they wrote, chuck this in. Really? You think of that? It's all right. Sure, like we were saying, it's all right, but don't do it. So Anakut went out there. Like that, he was very bold. I found out that I don't know when, but I was sick of this. We got the place where Prabhupada met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Uttabhanga Road. And I went there once to see the place. There's a silver pavilion tree that Prabhupada sat under, the Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur sat under. There's mentioned that there's a venue, jackfruit tree is still there. So, was when I went, anyway. So then, at that place, the devotees were begging to get the alms, and they would cook the food and first give to Bhakti Siddhanta, Thakur. Then, whatever was left, they would divide, so they had very little food. They have actually started, so there's a lot of austerities. At that place, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said that there was the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sava, that the Sampradaya would be protected. After Lord Chaitanya, it was Rupa Sanatana protected, and then there was Jiva Goswami protected, and like this, there was Srinivas Acharya, and Rajanas Thakur, Shaman Pandit, like that. It was handed down. So, he was the protector of the Sampradaya, it was Bhakti Thakur, and he was the protector. He went that far. And then he described that there is a different, these are called the Fatra Rajas, the protector of the Sampradaya. We can understand that Prabhupada is the protector of the Sampradaya also here, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he knew the details, how the different aspects of the Vishva Vaishnava Sava, how it would defend the Sampradaya, how it would function, how to do a community dealing with the different, let's see, I can't remember all the committees, but one of them was for like going out and challenging other groups. One was like a kind of a one was for studying the Shastra and coming up with the defenses for other religions. One was coming up the defenses of the within the Sanatana Dharma. The whole thing worked out. Then, so that's, I have notes in my computer, so I've referred to it for a while. I was suggesting that the GDC should do something like that some years ago, but at the time they had other priorities. So sometimes Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, he would use like a sutras, like a small a phrase, and then he would like Shiva Diya Vadanga to break the Athiras with a Shiva. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything, but then he tell a story. You see, once there was a Ravan. He actually was an atheist, but he didn't know how to do anything else, so he went to his father how to be a priest. So he became a priest at Zavindar's temple. That's the one. So then, he would do the puja, but actually, he didn't believe in it. He just did it because he was getting paid. He was a professional priest. So one day someone gave a bird a peanut in the shell. This was his weak spot. He loved peanuts. I mean, he really liked the peanuts a lot. And he was looking, and he said, I can't wait to eat these peanuts. So he closed the door of the candle. He took the shell of Shiva off the altar. Pum, pum. His stone is good for breaking peanut shells, you know. Because he's an atheist. You know, what Shiva Shiva didn't mean any difference to him than any other stone. So he broke it. The creatures are ancient. The Zandar, the landlord, he came up to see the temple, why are the doors shut? Very big, he was just rock hitting something inside. He was the window. He was there when he felt when he saw the priest taking the shell of Yeshua and breaking peanuts and eating them. You demon! You Vasani! You atheist, you nonsense. Both of them out. Gradually I threw them out. So that phrase, Shiva Diya Vadan Vanga, if any Brahmachari or Sannyasi, any devotee used Krishna's property for their own sense gratification, he would say, you're doing Shiva Diya Vadan Vanga. And that would mean this whole, you know, breaking peanuts with the shell of Yashira, Shiva, you know. The whole story would unfold in your mind. So like, he's at that time, there are very few cars in India, and now India is probably cars that try to jam. When I came there, there was only the ambassador, but now they got Hyundai and Honda and India, and they got Suzuki. They make a Maruti Suzuki, but it's a Suzuki, you know. I mean, Toyotas. But that time they had only a few cars, and they only the lords and the kings there. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, he purchased a car. So they were driving a car to buy medicine from the drugstore in Krishnanagar. So he said, you're doing a Shayam, you're a Gurangana, a Shayam. You should use this for patients, not to buy your. And now a car is like nothing but. And there was like a big answer for preaching. So they used it for sense gratification. He's walking the bicycle. You don't take a car just to buy your medicine. Use that for some teaching. So like this, he was there's a whole book of his stories, like I don't know how much time I got left. And here's the wash dice.
Yeah.
Let's see, I got one. That's not very good. Or the jackfruit and the judge. A jackfruit. And putting a tail on the mustache. Pandit and the village scholar and the tiger and the young graduate. Which one did I get? I got one, but that was a good fight. Huh?
The tiger.
And the graduate. So this a graduate, he's coming home, he just graduated from the Sanskrit toll, he had his degree, I guess it was according to a bachelor's degree, and so he was very proud, he knew Sanskrit. And so there's a village all around the jungle. He was trying to walk to the jungle because he goes to the other side. On farmer's said, you see, I wouldn't do that. Well, yeah, because there's a tiger in the jungle. And tiger, which the word in Sanskrit is vaga. They use vaga for everything nowadays, but don't talk about that. So he wrote about Raga. Raga means very enthusiastic, raw. That's how he wrote down the Sanskrit. So I know all the Sanskrit to say, tigers eat people. He'll eat them if you go through them. I'm Raga. My body is meant to serve others. I thought your body was very well. Serving others with all the knowledge you just gained, then tell your hope. So why is that out? See, you should understand the beauty of Sanskrit. That, listen, Sanskrit is beautiful. I'm sorry, I'm just an ignorant farmer. But if you want out, there's no way to tell you. If you go through the jungle, it's your own risk. But this student was so proud, he went through the jungle. And he was left behind by the tiger. And the tiger started chewing on his leg. And he thought, I forgot one meaning of the tiger. Baba asked him to lose by eating others. Famous last words. So, I forget what the sutra form of that is, but that means that is the example of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur did. As someone that puffed up by the mundane of scholarship and they're not all practical. They get, caught by a tiger. So the idea is that someone may have little material learning, they get caught by Maya because they're not done. And they're too puffed up. So, horror story, which other story like to hear? Any ladies that you want to? Which one?
Mustache.
A mustache. Okay. There's a funny one. So all these stories, you hear a story, what does that mean? There'd be a love for the story after the story. The story itself can part of the story, but then the love of the story is completely Krishna conscious. So this guy was walking along and he sees the top of the tree a big jackfruit. I don't know if you've ever seen jackfruit. They're like, they're the size of water ground sometimes, and they grow from the trunk and the branches of the tree. So he saw this jackfruit, and jackfruit has a very sweet smell. In Southeast Asia, they have the in the same family, they have another fruit called durian. They say it tastes like heaven, smells like hell. It's forbidden. I'm sorry, anyway. This is a jackfruit with a good smell. Very. So he smelled the jackfruit. The jackfruit is a little sticky. So he thought it would stick to my mustache. So he went and bought 10 cents worth of oil, greased up his nice mustache. So I wouldn't get stuck with the jackfruit. He looked around and seemed like he climbed up the tree, climbed up right to the top, almost got the jackfruit, and the branch broke. Ah! His arms broke, his leg broke, his eye, his scream awakened the guard, who came running. Jackfruit, so there he was, laying down in the ground, getting beaten with oil on his mustache. So you understand? You understand the moral of the story? So what does it mean? You see, here is something. He thought he could get the fruit of the Lord Krishna without going through the Prabhupada, he had to steal it. Without going through the guru. No guru. No owner of the in fact, he was so proud, he'd already greased up his mustache. He's got to get him first, right? Then he could grease it. But he was so sure he was going to get it, he already greased up. But as a favorite habit, when he got to the top of the tree, he couldn't actually get the fruit. Instead, he fell down, he was beaten by the angels of Maya. So all he had was his false ego. He didn't get jackfruit, and so he got broken bones and he got bruises. That's the moral story. So we should go for the guru, Prabhupada, and not try to directly get the fruit without, you know, by some illicit, illegal, unauthorized method. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
As you know, I had a stroke in 13 months ago. I'm here for the therapy, and half of my face is still paralyzed, so I'm not able to speak as easily as I did before. Are you able to understand me?
Yes.
I'm trying to take a great effort to be understood, I think. I know how much time I have left.
One more story.
Okay, which one?
Yes, no, very good.
Yes, no, very good. Do I hear it all at the end of the week? Yes, no, very good. Prabhupada said this quite a few times, that there was a villager who only knew three words in English. Yes, no, and very good. That's all I know. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing. So somehow you got a job in the office of the district magistrate. At that time, district magistrates were mainly losers eating me up. So something was stolen, and so every find a new guy. So the minister asked him, "Did you steal the money?" He said, "Yes, sir." "Do you want to defend yourself?" "No, sir." "And send you to jail." "Where is that?" So he thought, "I do that." "You can see where he's going." "No, that's not where he is." But he didn't very well. He was really like that. I thought I did good. So that's the moral story. Anyone else? Figure it out? So this one, it's like, you know, a little bit, like a little knowledge of a dangerous thing, a little bit, but you don't really know the whole thing, all the picture. So a little bit of Christian consciousness, you think you know everything. So you're in more trouble because you're posing as if you know everything. Yes, no, very good. Actually, you don't know very much. So you should be humble. If this guy, what she's saying, what she said, would have asked and had translated, then he would have saved his skin. But instead, he would show off. I know this. Yes, no, very good. So you have to be trouble. So like that, if we really want a little bit of Christian consciousness, we should be humble. We should be sure what if we don't know. Like sometimes the devotees, they don't know, but they don't want to appear like they don't know. So instead they give some speculative answer, and then because of the speculative answer, it's wrong. And then to carry that up, there will be another lie, another false answer, and deeper. So we're not supposed to speculate. Even a Prabhupada sometimes says, "Oh, I don't know." Either he didn't know or he didn't know the answer to the question, but he wasn't ashamed to say that the issue was needed. So we shouldn't utilize the time, we shouldn't try to pose that we know more. It's no harm to say, "Well, let me ask the senior Vaishnavas, and maybe I don't know the answer for this one, but I want to, I'll find out and I'll come back to you." I was asked that question when I was just a new writer, I was just distributing books, and someone asked me a question, I wouldn't know the answer. I said, "Tomorrow I'll tell you." I went back and asked Paduna or some, we had like a Sanskrit scholar there in Montreal, and I get the answer, "Okay, looking for the guy, let me show up there, I know the answer now." And that way, I learned the limit for us to go first, because, but I was, a guy, never speculate, never tell, you don't know, but tell the person you don't know. There's no harm in singing them out, but there's deep harm if you give the person some speculative answer. Oh, I think, you know, and you say something. So Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used these what we call upakyanas or allegories to make his lectures colorful, and he would use them as a means of a teaching. The Srila was that really he wanted to carry out all the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta. The word Mayapur, like there's a letter that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote to his followers at the time of just before his departure, like goodbye letter. But he said that by taking the people on the Anavadit Prakara, that you purifies them and the whole world, and then publishing the works, I can't say it all that in a natural flow, but the writing of Mayapur, publishing books, destroying the books, and then making Narahata. He actually mentioned Narahata. We don't mention too many times, but it was mentioned. And then through the Narahata, he comes down to the Prakaraka. So that gives a circle. Prakara, books, distribution, Narahata, Prakara. So he was asking his disciples to do this. Then you know that he also told them to do the governing body. So Prabhupada, in his 12th chapter, Adivira purports, he kind of says that the followers of Bhakti Siddhanta didn't follow him. At first they followed, but then they decided they would do something different. Like he said to the governing body, but I personally heard from one of our fellow godbrothers, he said, well, I had this idea. He gave me his idea, but he had the idea that it was more dynamic when he had one acharya and he had a committee. So why not make a leading body the acharya? Forget this government body. This is voting and majority. It's not even like it. So he suggested they have acharya. But that was going against the order of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Later they followed him and they made that Ananta Vasudeva the acharya. Later he had nowhere to go, and he stole the deity's jewelry, and he did all kind of stuff. So the whole day he went like broken to pieces. So we also experienced that some devotees, they evolved or they were not able to maintain their ashram, but so far we can't stay together because we followed Bhakti Siddhanta's order as handed down to Srila Prabhupada, as he gave to us, that don't have one acharya, have a governing body, don't have one guru, have many gurus. Everyone can be a guru who's qualified. So there's so many things like that. We are actually inheriting Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions as given by Srila Prabhupada, and that's what keeps us come together. That's what gives us our mandate to distribute books, to preach, to make devotees, to have Krishna consciousness all around the world. So we're all endeavoring, we're all the descendants of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we're all here giving in our obeisances. Have his appearance, our disappearance name. We try to carry out the legacy of that through Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked him to try to unite the Saraswati family. So we created a Saraswati Gaudiya Vaishnava Association. All the Gaudiya Vats joined with ISKCON except Nayanaraj. Anyone may heal them, do it. He sent them observers, but he didn't join. Past 2-3 years, I've had some difficulty with that, but this order is given to me by Prabhupada in the, when he named the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Charity Trust. So, we're trying to keep, unite the Saraswati family on some levels. We observe the joint appearance day of Bhakti Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta, our Saraswati Thakur. We do a few things together. There's a long way to go. So that's, I could go on talking, but that's my humble contribution for today. I don't know if there's a time when others will speak. I say, what these members are, is a core key. So, what key? Of course, Israelites call him Prabhupada also. And it says in his Sri Temple, Jaya Vishnu is on. A Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Thakur. So it was Prabhupada and Thakur both. So we don't mind calling him Prabhupada also, but we want to call Bhakti Siddhanta Swami as Prabhupada because he was carrying that legacy. That sounded very much objective. But they went, okay, this is ISKCON, they do that. They went in college, but that's maybe for them something that's the biggest contentious issue. But for us, we see that Prabhupada is carrying the Prabhupada. So he deserves to be called Prabhupada. Prabhupada, too. Hare Krishna.